We're dealing with the conclusion of Stephen's defense before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter number 7. As a result of dissension in the church, 7 deacons were appointed to manage the distribution to the needy believers and free up the apostles to concentrate on prayer and the ministry of the word. The first major section in Acts closes when Stephen becomes the first martyr for the sake of the gospel. Stephen, one of the 7 deacons, was wrongly accused of blasphemy and brought before the Sanhedrin. But rather than defending himself against the trumped-up charges made against him, Stephen gave a defense of Christianity as the one and only way of worshiping God, and was eventually stoned to death. In verse 1, the high priest inquired of Stephen if the accusations made against him in chapter 6, verses 13 and 14 were true. Stephen then proceeded to demonstrate that the temple and in Jerusalem was not the only place God could be worshipped. The Jews had worshipped God long before the temple was built. Although scholars differ on the date of Abraham's birth, inasmuch as Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, he could not have entered the land of Canaan too many years after 2100 BC, and he had worshipped God in Mesopotamia, meaning between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, before he went to Haran. By contrast, the temple was not built until the reign of Solomon, who reigned from about 970 to 931 BC. This was more than 1,000 years after Abraham had worshipped God in Haran. Stephen began his defense with a reminder of Abraham and the promises God made to him before reminding them of Joseph, of Jacob's move to Egypt, of Joseph's burial in Shechem, and of later developments in Egypt, including the birth of Moses. Moses, at age 40 and his flight into Egypt, into the land of Midian, are seen in 7:23 through 29. Moses, at age 80, experienced the burning bush and being sent to Egypt. Stephen then rehearsed the Exodus and the giving of the law. Unfortunately, the Israelites turned back to Egypt in their hearts, and God gave them up to worship the host of heaven. The Israelites had the tabernacle in the wilderness, and Solomon built the temple, even though the Most High God cannot dwell in a building. At this point, Stephen referred to the members of the Sanhedrin as stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, and as always resisting the Holy Spirit, just as their fathers, who had persecuted all the prophets, had done. It was these same members of the Sanhedrin who had betrayed and murdered the Lord Jesus. Furthermore, they had received the law, but had not kept it. At the end of chapter 7, Stephen will be stoned to death. Stephen reminds the Jews that their ancestors had engaged in idolatry, and again indicates God's reaction to their idolatry. Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Molech, and the star of your god Remphan, figures which ye have made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Now, verse 43 is quoted from Amos 5:26. But ye have borne or carried the tabernacle of your Molech and key on your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. Yea, is the word often translated and in this verse. It's used in an emphatic sense as indeed, in fact, verily, or certainly. Ye took up, where ye is you, plural, and it refers to the house of Israel, suggests you took up in order to carry, in the sense of you took along. And what they took along was the tabernacle of Molech, the tent of Molech. It was a portable sanctuary used in the worship of Molech, the Canaanite Phoenician god of the sky and the sun. And the star of your god Remphan suggests, and the constellation of your god Remphan. Remphan was a stellar deity, which we mean a god of the stars. Remphan was one of the gods of the heavens mentioned in verse 42. Figures refers to objects formed to resemble some entity in the sense of images or statues. In this verse, it's references to the images of the gods. The appears before figures in the Greek text in order to particularize these images as Molech and Remphan. Which ye made to worship them refers to the figures, the images, or the statues. Ye is you, plural, and refers to the Jews, meaning the house of Israel. Made is understood in the sense of manufactured or produced. To worship them, where them refers to the figures, images, or statues which the Jews made, indicates the purpose for their having made them. And it's understood in the sense of in order to worship them. In his commentary, F.F. Bruce has written, does Stephen mean that the tabernacle in the wilderness, far from being the place of Jehovah's worship, was actually the temple, the tabernacle of Molech? This is unlikely. What Stephen means is that the idolatry, which began in the wilderness with the worship of the golden calf, found its climax under the monarchy with the worship of the planetary powers for which the nation lost its freedom and suffered deportation, and introduces God's reaction to their worship of these idols. Idolatry in Israel, which had its roots in the episode of the golden calf, would become full-blown in the period of the kings and would result in the captivity of both Israel and Judah. I will carry you away where I is God, and you is plural and refers to the Jews, is predictive of something God will definitely do in the future. Will carry away means will remove to another place of habitation, or we will resettle. Here it's used of a forcible deportation in the sense of will deport. Beyond Babylon indicates where God will deport the Jews and means at a more advanced point than Babylon, or farther on than Babylon. In verses 44 to 46, Stephen begins to deal with the tabernacle. It indicates that the Jews worshiped God in places other than the temple in Jerusalem. It was wherever the tabernacle was set up in the wilderness wanderings. In verse 44, Stephen reminds the Jewish leaders of the tabernacle. Thus, the Jews in the wilderness had the opportunity to worship God as God chose, but involved themselves in idolatry. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. In case you wondered, did I read that twice? Yes. You see, I've got a problem with a line on my lenses, and it went in the wrong place, and I got the wrong side of the line. You'll forgive me, I know. I'm surely glad for that. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness. It's literally the tent of the testimony was with our fathers in the desert. Our fathers, where our refers to Stephen and to the Jewish leaders who represented the nation of Israel, speaks of the Jewish ancestors who lived after Moses. They had, expresses ongoing action in past time. The tabernacle of witness refers to the tent of testimony, which God directed Moses to make and which was located in the center of the Israelite encampment. It was where the sacrifices were offered and contained the Holy of Holies. It is literally the tent of the witness. It was a tent which was disassembled and reassembled every time the Israelites moved from one place to another. In the desert speaks of the wilderness, where the Israelites spent 40 years wandering while waiting for the rebellious ones to die, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, where he is the Lord. The one speaking to Moses suggests just as the one was speaking to Moses who gave detailed instructions or ordered, and it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. The instruction of Moses was given that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, that he should make it where he is Moses and where it is the tabernacle of witness is, that he make, that is, that he manufacture or produce it according to the fashion that he had seen, where he is Moses is according to the pattern, meaning the model or the design he saw. He had seen has been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. In verse 45, Stephen reminds the Jewish leaders that the Jews at the time of Joshua brought the tabernacle into the promised land where it was in use until the time of King David. Remember, the Exodus occurred in about 1445 B.C., by the time they spent 40 years wandering around the wilderness, it was just a little bit before 1400 BC. David did not come on the scene until about 1010 BC, about 400 years later, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus, meaning with Joshua, into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, which refers to the tabernacle of witness mentioned in verse 44, also reintroduces a truth regarding the tabernacle in addition to Moses making it according to the model he saw. Our fathers that came after refers to the Jews who entered the promised land under the leadership of Jesus, but it really is Joshua. Why do I say that? Jesus is the Greek spelling, and this is written in Greek. Jesus is the Greek spelling of the Hebrew name Joshua that came after is understood in the sense that they were the generation of Jews that entered the promised land. They had either been under the age of 20 years at the time of the rebellion at Kadesh Barnea, or they had been born in the wilderness during the years which followed the rebellion. So right now, aside from Joshua and Caleb, once Moses will die off, which is before they enter the promised land, nobody was older than 60 years. They brought in with Jesus. There's that Jesus again, the Greek spelling of Joshua, refers to the tabernacle, which the Jewish ancestors brought with them into the land of Canaan under the leadership of Joshua, brought in into the possession of the Gentiles, refers to the land possessed by the Gentiles. Now, who were these Gentiles? They were the Canaanites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Whom is referring to these Gentiles who occupied the land of Canaan, who were dispossessed by the Israelites, whom God drave out, is whom God forced out, or whom God expelled before the face of our fathers, means from the presence of our fathers, where our refers to Stephen and to the Jewish leaders with whom he was speaking, and where our fathers refers to the Jewish ancestors who were coming into possession of the land of Canaan. Unto the days of David is until the days of David, who became king of Israel about 400 years after Joshua and the Jews entered Canaan. Verse 46 describes David's desire, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob, who found favor, where who refers to David is who obtained favor or grace before God, where God is the God the Father, is in the sight of God or in the presence of God, and desired is understood in the sense of and asked for, or requested to find, suggest to attain, to maintain, to find for himself or to obtain a tabernacle. It's used in the sense of a habitation. For the God of Jacob implies for the God of Jacob to dwell in. As we move on into verses 47 through 50, Stephen deals with the temple. In verse 47, Stephen reminds the Jewish leaders that Solomon was privileged to do something that only David only desired to do. But Solomon built him and house, speaking of the temple. But introduces a statement in mild contrast to David's desiring to build a habitation for God. And Solomon, of course, is David's son, King Solomon. Built is erected or constructed. Him means for him and refers to the God of Jacob. What Solomon built is an house, meaning a reference to the temple. In verse 48, Stephen states that God does not dwell in temples built by human hands. Albeit the Most High God dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Howbeit introduces a statement in strong contrast to Solomon built him an house in 47. It's the word often translated but. But the Most High, the highest, and it's referring to God the Father, dwelleth not, means does not live, does not dwell, settle down or reside in temples made with hands, in temples made or built by human hands. In temples made with hands has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally, but not the highest in made with hands temples dwells. In English, word order determines the meaning. In Greek, word order determines emphasis. And the case, the words have different endings on them to tell you what part of speech they are functioning as. As saith the prophet is just as the prophet says. The prophet is Isaiah. And the quotation comes from the content of verse 49. Which is quoted from Isaiah 66:1. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool, is literally the heaven is my throne, and the earth is a footstool of my feet. Heaven is speaking where the Lord is sitting, as he rules over the earth, and earth, as the Lord's footstool, speaks of his ruling over the earth. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? What kind of house will you build for me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Or what is the location of my rest? And it speaks of his home where he might rest. But God needs no rest and has no need of a place where he might rest. Verse 50 is a question whose structure in the Greek text indicates that it's expecting a positive answer. Hath not my hand made all these things? It is, my hand made all these things, did it not? And implies, yes, it did. It is referring to God's creating the heaven and the earth. It has been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. The worship of God who created the universe cannot be confined to one building in one location, such as the temple in Jerusalem. God may be worshiped anywhere, not just in Jerusalem. People worshiped God in places other than Jerusalem before the temple was built. The temple was never intended to confine God. In 1 Kings 8:27, Solomon himself, who was responsible for building the temple in Jerusalem, said, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded." As we move into verses 51 to 53, we see that Stephen deals with the obstinacy and disobedience of the Israelites. In verse 51, Stephen refers to the members of the Sanhedrin as stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, and as always resisting the Holy Spirit, just like their fathers had done. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Now you can imagine this infuriated these rascals that were about to kill Stephen. Ye stiff-necked is you stiff-necked or you stubborn ones. Uncircumcised in heart and ears is uncircumcised, meaning obdurate, stubborn, or obstinate ones in heart and ears. It indicates that they were stubborn and unwilling to open their hearts or minds to the wooing of the Holy Spirit regarding the Lord Jesus and his death on the cross for their sins. Ye, is you plural, and refers to the members of the Sanhedrin whom Stephen was addressing. Do always resist is are continually or constantly resisting or opposing. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit, the Holy One. As, followed by so, indicates a comparison between the Israelites did in the Old Testament times and what the members of the Sanhedrin were doing at this time. Your fathers refers to the ancestors of the members of the Sanhedrin, as indicated by the italics did and do have been supplied by the translators as required by the context. The ancestors of the Sanhedrin constantly opposed the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. So do ye. So you members of the Sanhedrin are doing. Verse 52 indicates that the Jewish ancestors had slain the prophets of God and that the members of the Sanhedrin had betrayed and slain the Lord Jesus Christ. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Which is singular, means which one. Of the prophets speaks of the spokesmen of God in the Old Testament. Have not your fathers persecuted, where your refers to the members of the Sanhedrin, and fathers is understood as forefathers or ancestors. Have not persecuted is did not persecute. And it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. Have persecuted indicates that they had harassed the prophets because of what the prophets believed or taught. The implication is that the ancestors of the Sanhedrin had basically persecuted all the prophets who faithfully carried God's message to them. It would have been a rare prophet whom they had not persecuted. And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One. It introduces a statement which is parallel to which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted. It also adds additional insight to their sin. They have slain, or they refers to your fathers, your forefathers, or your ancestors of the members of the Sanhedrin, is they killed, they murdered, or they put to death. And it's likewise been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. Them which showed before is the ones who announced beforehand or foretold. And it's referring to the prophets. They had foretold of the coming of the Just One, meaning concerning the arrival of the Righteous One. It's a reference to the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if the prophets would foretell anything doing the coming of Christ, the first coming, they'd get killed for it. Of whom is the Just One? It's a reference to Christ. Ye have been, is you, plural, have become, where ye is emphatic and refers to the members of the Sanhedrin whom Stephen was addressing. Ye have become now, speaks of the time that's about to come, or excuse me, that has just passed, the not too distant past. And what they have become is the betrayers and murderers of the Just One, meaning of the Lord Jesus. Betrayers is traitors. The same term is used of Judas Iscariot in Luke 6:16. And Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Betrayers is the noun form of a verb which means to hand over in treacherous manner or to betray. They were guilty of betraying the Lord Jesus in that they handed him over to the Romans with the intent that he would be crucified. And they incited the people to demand that he be crucified. Also, they were murderers in that they were responsible for the murder of the Lord Jesus. The statement in Matthew 27:25, his blood be on us and on our children, was attributed to the people who were clamoring for Jesus' crucifixion. But the members of the Sanhedrin had stirred up the people to demand his crucifixion. As a result, they were responsible for Christ's murder. Verse 53 indicates that the members of the Sanhedrin had received the law but had not obeyed it. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it? Who was such ones who, or who to be sure, and refers to the members of the Sanhedrin whom Stephen was addressing. Have received is simply received. And it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. What they had received was the law, the Mosaic law, which they had received by the disposition of angels, which means by the directions of angels. It indicates that God directed the transmission of the law which the angels carried out, and it was eventually passed down to the members of the Sanhedrin and have not kept it. Indicates that the members of the Sanhedrin whom Stephen was addressing had not kept the Mosaic law which they had received, and may be understood as introducing a contrast in the sense of but have not kept it. Have not kept is did not keep, did not observe, or did not follow. Instead, they had broken it. They had broken the law. Well, doesn't take rocket science to figure out that the Sanhedrin didn't like the truth. And Stephen had told them the truth. And as we move into verses 54 through 60, we see Stephen's death. When Stephen told the Sanhedrin that they were like the fathers, their fathers, who had persecuted the prophets, who had prophesied of the coming of the Messiah, and that they had now murdered their Messiah and had not kept the law, they were infuriated. By contrast, Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit, looked into heaven, and saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God and informed his listeners of seeing the heavens opened and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. The response was that they refused to listen any further to what he was saying, ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him to death, having laid their clothes at Saul's feet. While dying, Stephen said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, and Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." In verses 44 to 60, we see the Jews' reaction to Stephen's defense. It will result in Stephen's being stoned to death. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. When they heard these things, where they refers to the members of the Sanhedrin whom Stephen was addressing, is literally hearing these things. It's been translated in a way which shows time. Its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of were cut and of gnashed. It's understood in the sense of while, or while they were hearing these things. And these things, of course, is referring to what Stephen was saying to them. They were cut to the heart. Where they refers to the members of the Sanhedrin, it indicates ongoing action in past time. It indicates that they were being cut to the quick in their hearts, or they were infuriated in their hearts, and speaks of each one individually. They gnashed on him with their teeth, where him is Stephen. It likewise indicates ongoing action in past time in the sense of, and they, meaning those in the Sanhedrin whom Stephen was addressing, were grinding their teeth on him, or they were gnashing their teeth on him. Verse 55 contrasts Stephen's reaction to the reaction of the members of the Sanhedrin toward him. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. But introduces a statement in mild contrast to verse 54. He is Stephen. Being is understood in conjunction with saw, and its tense indicates ongoing action occurring at the same time as the action of saw. It's understood in the sense of he was. Full of the Holy Ghost indicates that Stephen was under the control of God the Holy Spirit. You know, you might think, well, what if he'd softened his words a little bit? He wasn't supposed to. He did what God wanted him to do. He confronted the Sanhedrin, and he was filled with the Spirit of God while doing this. He was under the control of the Spirit while he said everything that he said. Looked up steadfastly is understood in conjunction with saw. And its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of saw. Looked up steadfastly means looked intently or stared at. Into heaven indicates where Stephen looked. Apparently, his being filled with the Holy Spirit enabled him to look intently into heaven, something which would have been impossible under normal circumstances. And saw suggests, and saw with his own eyes. What Stephen saw as he stared into heaven was the glory of God, meaning God's glory, which suggests the brightness or splendor or radiance of God the Father. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God indicates someone Stephen saw. Jesus is God the Son. Rather than sitting on the right hand of God, Jesus was seen standing on the right hand of God the Father, ready to receive Stephen into heaven. In verse 56, Stephen states what he saw and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And said, of course, is "and he," meaning Stephen, said, "Behold," or "look," or "lo," "I see" indicates what Stephen observed with his own eyes. What he saw is the heavens opened. Although plural, the heavens is a reference to heaven, the place of God's abode. Opened indicates that the heavens were in a state of having already been opened, with the result that he was able to see into heaven. And the Son of Man is Jesus. He is seen standing on the right hand of God. The tense of standing indicates that he has already assumed a standing position. The fact that he is at the right hand of God indicates that Jesus was co-reigning with God the Father. And the fact that he's standing suggests that he's ready to receive Stephen into his very presence in heaven. Every once in a while, whether it's a song we sing or a text in the scripture, that it reminds me of my wife, my first wife. We were married nearly 60 years. And every time I read verse 56, I'm reminded of something which happened when my wife was in the hospital about 10 days before she would get promoted to heaven. All of a sudden, while she was looking up, lying in her hospital bed, her eyes became wide open and stayed wide open for a brief moment. Inasmuch as we've heard claims of dying people, and she was one of those, seeing bright lights or angels, my son Dan asked her what she saw. Her unexpected answer was the ceiling. The ceiling. Didn't see anything spiritual, but we've had a few laughs over this. We wondered what was going on, and the answer is nothing. All right, very simple, but you know how it goes. Sometimes we imagine things. We need to move on. Verse 57 indicates what the members of the Sanhedrin did when Stephen saw that he saw the heavens opened and Jesus standing on God's right hand. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Then they cried out, as understood in conjunction with both stopped and ran. And its tense indicates that their crying out occurred at the same time that they stopped their ears and ran upon him. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to their stopping their ears and running upon him. Their crying out was with a loud voice, which suggests that it was much louder than it needed to be. Maybe it was to drown out what Stephen was saying, or maybe it was to intimidate Stephen or to encourage themselves in what they were doing. And stop their ears suggests that they held their ears shut, thus refusing to listen to Stephen, and ran upon him as rushed upon him with one accord, with one mind, with one purpose, with one impulse. They were intent on murdering him. Verse 58 details what the members of the Sanhedrin did after rushing upon Stephen with one intent and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And cast him out of the city is literally "and having cast him," meaning Stephen, "out of the city." Cast out is understood in conjunction with stone. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of stone. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to stone, and it might instead be understood as indicating time in the sense of after they cast him out. Cast him out suggests threw him out, forced him out, forced him to leave, drove him out or expelled him. Out of the city indicates that Stephen was forced out of the city of Jerusalem, and stoned him, and were stoning him. It speaks of continuing action in past time. Stephen did not die instantly. And the witnesses refers to those who were stoning Stephen. They had witnessed or testified against Stephen and were therefore casting stones at him. Laid down their clothes, as took off or laid down their outer garments, meaning their cloaks or their robes, which left their arms free for hurling stones at Stephen. This wasn't pea gravel they were throwing at him. They were as big a rocks as they could find, and they weren't throwing them just to scare him. They were throwing him in intent to kill him. Laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Happens to be Saul of Tarsus, doesn't it? Who would become the Apostle Paul. He's watching their garments while they're stoning Stephen. The word translated young man or youth refers to a male who is 24 to 40 years of age. Young man. And the more mature I become, the younger he looks, okay? Whose name was Saul, a reference to Saul of Tarsus. The fact that they laid their garments at Saul's feet implies that he was approving of their stoning Stephen. He appears to be the leader of this group also. Verse 59 indicates what Stephen was doing while they were stoning him. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So they stoned Stephen, and they were stoning Stephen. It speaks of continuing action in past time. They refers to the witnesses who had testified against Stephen. Stephen is described as calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Calling upon and saying suggests who was calling upon and saying, or while or as he was calling upon and saying. As indicated by the italics, God has been supplied by the translators. Its reference is to God the Father. They might instead have supplied Jesus or the Lord, inasmuch as Stephen's prayer is addressed to the Lord Jesus. Receive my spirit suggests take up and receive my spirit into your arms. My is Stephen, and spirit is a part representing the whole. Stephen's meaning is receive me. Verse 60 records Stephen's prayer for his murderers at the time of his death. Until this time, it appears that Stephen was standing throughout this time of being stoned. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He kneeled down, suggests that he had been standing until this point in time. It's understood in conjunction with cried, and its tense indicates that his action occurred before the action of cried. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to cried. It might instead be understood in the sense of after he kneeled down. And he cried with a loud voice as he called or called out with a loud voice. And his prayer is addressed to the Lord, meaning to Jesus. Lay not this sin to their charge, suggests do not begin to or never lay this sin to their charge or never hold this sin against them. By this sin, Stephen means they're murdering him. Them is referring to the ones who were stoning him, as well as to Saul, who was there approving of their action. when he had said this, is having or after he said this. It's understood in conjunction with fell asleep. And its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of fell asleep. What he said is, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He fell asleep is a euphemism for, meaning a kind or soft way of saying, he died or he passed away. We should take note that throughout this ordeal, Stephen was filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. And he was in the center of God's will as he was being stoned to death. We likewise need to be filled with or controlled by the Holy Spirit and living in the center of God's will regardless of where it takes us or what it results in. So far in my life, living in the center of God's will presented me with a godly wife for nearly 60 years, and following her promotion to heaven, presented me with a second godly wife. It has provided me with opportunities to pastor in 4 states, Illinois, North Carolina, Utah, and Florida. It's also provided me with opportunities to teach in a Bible college, ministries, and to write extensive explanations of the New Testament. It's also brought me to Hendersonville, North Carolina, where I'm privileged to be pastoring a wonderful group of God's people who love the Lord and His Word. I'm thankful that God is not yet finished with me or with you. Let's be living for Him. As I looked at my life as I was going through it, it looked like kind of a zigzag pattern. But as I look back on it, it looks like a straight line, that God was in every situation and in every move. You need to be living faithfully for Him regardless of where this takes you or what it results in. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for the privilege of studying this portion of Thy Word. Help us to understand it better and better. And I know it's a long section this morning, but help us, our Father, to realize that what Stephen experienced was Your will for him. And thank You for his getting promoted to heaven on that day. Bless these dear people. Meet every need they have. In Jesus' name, amen.